Blog Talk Radio.
Ryan, what up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show, K Show 1 on Twitter, presented by our motherfucking selves. You know it's me and my boy, Andrew Meredith, from The Rock, coming to you, emergency edition, college football edition. Andrew, you know we kind of rushed into it, so no introduction needed. You know he's the king of Rochester. Andrew, I'm going to go ahead and get my headset ready so we can do this epic college football show. So I'm going to go ahead and go on mute and get ready. So kind of tell the fans what we're going to be doing today. Appreciate it, brother. Welcome to the show.
Very excited. Very great time of year. It is officially September. Football is back in my life, and I feel complete. Tonight's show, folks, me and Ryan, of course, you know, not only will we be previewing probably the best opening weekend of college football ever. I mean, tomorrow, this weekend is history. This is the best opening weekend of college football. We've had good games on Thursday night, Friday night. I think it's the trend we're starting to see with the sport. With the playoffs, teams are getting rewarded for, you know, facing tough teams in the beginning of the season instead of just, you know, you see some of these teams a la some of the Big Ten, a la Michigan,
who
play cupcakes. So tonight, me and Ryan, we will be previewing week one, and also we will be, you know, getting some of our predictions, just breaking down some random teams and whatnot. Very excited. Ryan, he is back. Real quick, got a question to ask you. You know, opening up college football. Ryan, this year, you know, and I wanted to ask you this, this year seems crazy, and I feel like it's wide open this year. There's not a definitive number or a team just coming back that you feel has, you know, there's not that one team that stands out. You know, what if you want to like compare this to a year, what are your thoughts? Like, what is this year like? How wide open is it? And, you know, is it kind of weird? Can you think of any other years like this where there's not those one or two marquee teams that, you know, like, you know what I mean? There's just no, like, every year there's that one team that, you know, is at least an overwhelming favorite or a lot of people are picking. But this year, it's wide open. I mean, how many different teams can you see making the playoffs? Is this, you know, how excited are you for this year? Is this one of the most wide open years? Like, what are your thoughts overall, the landscape of it going in? You know, what's it like? It's crazy because it's crazy this year.
Yeah, I agree, Andrew. Just to tell the fans, you know, we will be breaking down the conferences and our playoff predictions and our week one predictions. Sorry for the craziness in the beginning of the show, kind of getting myself ready, a little bit of a miscue. But just to touch on what Andrew was saying just now, I can't remember a year that was like this. You know, we had Ohio State last year and even Alabama, but Ohio State was so stacked coming back.
Yeah.
The year before, we had Florida State, who, you know, was returning, you know, Jameis Winston, and we had Mariota, of course, that year, look out of nowhere. But I think the college football playoffs has kind of changed the college football landscape for the better because it opens up people's minds to think, not just the top two, but what teams can win their conference and make it into it. So it opens up conversations for teams like Michigan, who for in the BCS era, I don't think anybody would be considering Michigan, but everyone's thinking now,
Ohio State
sneak into the playoffs. But no, I don't see any dominant team because Alabama, in my opinion, is overrated. I don't think they're a number one team. I know I say that every year, but if Nick Saban can get this team into the playoff with the road game and basically all the talent he lost, and every year he did have a bad quarterback or a young quarterback or a new quarterback, he always had an elite running back. I don't believe he really has that this year on the level he's had before. So I just think Alabama is being because there isn't that elite team. I think the closest thing we have to dominant teams in the nation, and this speaks a lot for the conference and how it has risen, is basically Clemson and Florida State. Clemson has basically what you want in college football, the best quarterback, the guy that can basically win you games on his own. But even they have question marks. And, of course, Florida State, talented everywhere. They're kind of the new Alabama, and that's what we said years ago, Andrew. We could be the Alabama, but in the ACC. But the quarterback situation is a question. So I think every team is kind of like that. You know, you have teams at the top, like Ohio State, great quarterback, but lost all those big-time starters. Michigan, easy schedule, but no quarterback. So I think every team has so many questions that this is just set to be a wild year.
Oh, yeah. To chime in, if it's anything like, you know, Thursday night indicated, this is going to be a wild year. And just real quick, I have to vent. Never been so pissed off. Appalachian State, just thanks for letting all college football nation down.
Yeah.
I've never seen a team blow so many chances to win a football game. I guess that is why you're Appalachian State. They had a chance to probably pull. You know, it's funny, Ryan, a lot of people would claim Appalachian State has the biggest upset in college football history in 07 when they beat that Michigan team that brought everyone back with Chad Henne, Chris Perry. Everyone had them shoot in for the national championship.
Yeah.
And then, you know, number 9 Tennessee, they completely blew the game, completely pissed me off. But it was a wild game, and even that there, you know, that game goes to show you this is a crazy season. Tennessee, you know, a team, one of the most complete teams, stacked teams, that hasn't been able to break through yet, and they used 8 of their 9 lives to come back and win that game. So that is an early indication of some of the great games we're having. Ryan, you know, one team, or real quick, I'm not sure we dive in, but we got to touch on it. So week one, we've seen close, and you are the upset king. You always get a couple good ones every year.
Week one for the end of the discussion, or do you want to go ahead and dive into week one?
Let's get a little week one. This week one is too monumental and epic.
We do got to make our overall prediction.
Let's just quick get week one in. There's just too many good games. Honestly, there's good games on every slate of the night. Starting with midnight or noon, and honestly, Ryan, this is going to be my big upset for the day. Houston, Oklahoma, a lot of people have Oklahoma shooting.
Oh, you're stealing my upset.
College football playoff.
Come on.
Houston, they swamped us last year. They have a great coach. All we hear
That's
is about Baker Mayfield. They might have the better quarterback and more junior, Ryan. They're a hungry team. And if a team we could see go undefeated, they have a tough schedule, they could maybe even slip in and make the college football playoffs. But, Ryan, I'm going at noon. We finally get that big upset. And I don't even know how big of an upset it is. You know, I guess off the name value, but Houston is
ranked 15. I think it's a huge upset, for sure.
But I got Houston beating Oklahoma. And, Ryan, could this be a precursor for a matchup? It's rumored that the Big 12 will be adding two teams next year, and you've got to think they're circling Houston as one of the teams to add to the league. But that's my first – that's my upset, Ryan. I'm calling it Houston's beating Oklahoma. Big upset of the day.
You bad third, because everybody and their mom knows I was calling that upset a week or two ago. But I guess you're with me on it.
You can call it too, man. We're with each other. We both got Houston.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, if you agree with the upset, you agree with the upset. But I wanted to be the, you know, the guy to call
first.
It. But, yeah, I am also calling this upset. The only thing I would say real quick about the Big 12 and what I've heard is I think Houston absolutely belongs in the Big 12. And I think the other team might be Memphis or somebody like that, maybe UCF or USF to get into the state of Florida. But as you look at the conferences, they want to basically spread across the nation and bring more audiences in and, what's going to affect basketball and what's going to affect really their bottom line. And what I've heard of the Big 12 is they're not that interested in bringing in another Texas school. They have so many Texas schools. Mm-hmm. They want to kind of get out of that Texas region. And that's why they're looking at BYU, big all over the United States. And I think if they do go the BYU route, then you have the Memphis, the UCF, the USF, all those teams in the East that the Big 12 could add. But I think Houston just makes way more sense. I think it really depends, you know, on how Houston does this year and how they look in this game because, you know, they might not have that coach next year. Let's put it that way. If they win this game and they go far, and if they join the Big 12, surprisingly, I'm going to say they might lose that coach because I believe he is going to get a big job and not want to stay in the Big 12 where Houston might have a little drop-off if they join a conference like that. But, Andrew, I'm going to go along with you. And that is all stuff I kind of heard and agreed with. I got to give Ivan Manziel, whatever his name is, credit. But, you know, Houston is a program I've just been in love with the last years, other than them beating us. I love their quarterback, Ward. He is a playmaker. And I believe that basically Oklahoma, you know, we are going to talk about our playoffs later. I think they can rattle off consecutive victories after this game. But I just think Houston is going to be too ready. And I think this coach is one of the most underrated coaches in the nation. And it's going to be a shootout. And it's going to come over or come down to Baker Mayfield make a few more mistakes than Ward, who is a true Heisman contender. And Houston's definitely going to win the game. Andrew, the next game I'm going to have to bring up is the big one. Alabama, not the biggest, but, you know, the big one, sorry. Alabama, USC. We got the Crimson Tide. We're obviously going to talk. We're going to try to talk about the conferences. We talked about them a little bit. I said that, you know, I don't really believe in Alabama this year. I know I say it every year. But I think if Alabama gets through this schedule this year, then I'm going to kneel down and say Nick Saban is the greatest because, I mean, they play LSU on the road. They play Ole Miss 2 weeks from now on the road. They play USC. I mean, this schedule is very hard. I don't know if it's as hard as FSU's schedule, but it's tough. And USC, this is a game right here where if it was another year, or basically maybe a couple years from now, Alabama would be in trouble. But I just see has their act together defensively. USC has all the talent on offense. Maybe they will surprise Alabama with the speed and the talent that they do have on offense. But they have a new quarterback. It's a new quarterback battle. And I think Lane Kiffin is just going to be out for revenge. And this is going to be a typical Alabama showing where they kind of blow out USC and get a little bit overhyped and maybe get upset in that Ole Miss game 2 weeks from now. I got Alabama by a couple touchdowns over USC.
You know, Ryan, I'm going to have to agree. My heart, I want to pick USC so bad. I want USC to win so bad. And the crazy part is about this matchup, Ryan, just about Alabama in general. We still don't know who their starting quarterback is going to be. You know, it's funny. I don't even know if it's going to get announced before the game. We might not know who Alabama's starting quarterback is going to be until the first play of the game, which is kind of insane to think about it, but the talent is there. And Ryan, I do think you hit the nail on the head with this one. USC has all the talent in the world offensively. Juju Smith, Max Brown, unproven quarterback, five-star, highly rated kid. You know, one of my favorite running backs, Ronald Jones. They have a very good offensive line. This team is loaded, but do they have the toughness defensively in the front seven to stand up to that Alabama offensive line? And the one thing I will say about this, Ryan, in Alabama, it's scary. This is why I don't know if they'll really ever be in trouble. The level they recruit at and the talent they bring in is unlike anything I've ever seen. As great as Florida State and Jimbo Fisher does, even
Urban
Meyer in Ohio
State,
it's still second though to them. I mean, they can feel the defense completely of 5 stars, 49 4 stars on their roster. Numbers like that are just absurd.
But FSU
number
put
one,
more talent in the NFL. I really think better talent.
I mean, I'm just saying they've had the number one recruiting class 6 years in a row. So, I mean, the talent's going to be there. But, you know, are they game ready? But, Ryan, I got to agree. This seems like, you know, one of those Alabama matchups was like when they played Virginia Tech that one year or even Wisconsin last year where it's an interesting matchup, but you just think Alabama will probably win by a touchdown or two. But good God, I really do want to see USC win that game. I would love to see USC win that game. We need, I mean, college football, the world is a better place with USC back being a national power. It makes them more exciting. Well, we see it. And what a victory. You know what I'm saying? Just what an opening statement that would be
for USC
to come out
back
and win.
On the map. And imagine if we had the Pete Carroll era USC versus an Alabama team, how great that would be.
Pete versus Nick, that would be great.
Andrew, for the time, I'm going to do a three-team package before we go to a couple other games. I'm going to go ahead and say the UNC versus Georgia game.
Oh, yeah.
The Texas A&M versus UCLA.
Oh, yeah.
Clemson versus Auburn, because we got to think about the time here. I'll start off by just saying that I'm going ACC. I'm picking UNC to beat Georgia, despite the fact that I think Georgia has a ton of talent, and if they choose the right quarterback, maybe could go really far and even win the SEC East. I'm kind of high on this Georgia team, but it's Georgia. Maybe they got rid of Mark Richt, and the little Georgia kind of never getting through the hump is going to end. But I think they're just a year or two away, and North Carolina is just primed to be, you know, the next, you know, the third or fourth best team in the ACC every year, or maybe even taking that leap to be better than Clemson or FSU 1 or 2 years every couple of years. Just a team that's going to be good. Then I got Clemson absolutely destroying Auburn. It's going to be just the Watson show. Clemson, you know, it's going to be look like a big win on their schedule. It's going to be an SEC victory, and it's definitely going to feed into the Clemson hype. I don't see Auburn standing a chance. It could lead to the firing of the man, old Dusty Boy. And then we also have that Texas A&M UCLA matchup. Such a tough matchup to choose. I'm going to go ahead and say, UCLA pulls it off. Mr. Rosen, the chosen. On the road, I know it's going to be a hard matchup. Great defensive Texan and great receivers, but I think UCLA will be the Pac-12 South winner. I know we haven't gotten into our division rankings yet, but I think that the chosen one is just going to be on another level this year, and he's going to be able to outgun Texas A&M on the road. I got UCLA in that one.
Oh,
who's
Ryan,
your three victors in those
three
games?
Three great games. First game, talking about UNC Georgia, I'm gonna go with Georgia on this one. UNC they lost their quarterback last year. Great player. I know their backup quarterback is very talented. You know, Elijah Hood, great running back, very talented. And they had a top 15 secondary last year. They brought everyone back. They are a talented team, but I think Georgia is just a little bit too talented. Interesting factor, we still don't know if Nick Chubb is going to be playing or not. If he's not playing, that's going to be huge. Granted, I do think Georgia is still a couple of years away. When homeboy, the great quarterback, they just brought in Jacob Eason, the freshman. I don't think he's starting this game. Jacob Eason. I feel like Georgia's a year away, 2 years away under Kirby Smart. But granted, that's another team with just all the talent in the world to get the right spark.
A lot of good returning starters on Georgia.
They could go very far, you know. But will Nick Chubb play? That's a huge factor. But I'm going to go with Georgia on this one. Number two, Clemson-Auburn. I mean, come on. I'm going Clemson.
Clemson,
Watson. Now, I will say this. I do think this game is going to be a little bit closer than what the public thinks. You know, first game of the season, It's
nah.
in Auburn. You know, there's the Kings getting everything
it's in
ready.
The Peach Bowl.
I think it's
going to
be
in Atlanta.
ESPN steered me wrong. I was watching it today, and they said it was in Auburn, so that had the wheels turning. But I think this game's going to be a little bit closer because it is the first game of the season. Or, you know, you never know. We could see Clemson just blow the doors off of them. But Sean White and Auburn, you know, it's not like a team that's known for their ferocious defense.
I think
Auburn
will
put
points
on
the board
everywhere.
Sure.
I definitely think so, too. But in the end, I think
I
it's
think
going to be
Clemson
close
has
to
overrated defense this year.
And I think Clemson ends up, you know, maybe pulls away in the second half. But I got Clemson. I got Deshaun Watson. And
yeah, I'm
going to
say like
game.
A
42-31
score.
This game is very tough going in. The Texas A&M UCLA game. First of all, great matchup. I would be picking Texas A&M if they kept some of their great quarterbacks. It's funny, Ryan.
Do you think they have the best receiver in the nation, though?
Who? Texas A&M and Christian Kirk?
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know if he's the best receiver in the nation. I can't. I mean, he is very explosive. He's a great playmaker. Is he the best wide receiver in the country, though? I'm going to have to say no on that one. But, you know, he's definitely up there, and he's definitely a highlight reel waiting to happen. You know, it's funny. If they still had Kenny Hill or Kyler Murray or Kyle Allen, any of those All-American potential
Mr.
Trill
starting for TCU.
They've lost all of them, yeah. It's crazy, you know, all the talent. They've lost their quarterback. But they do have the best defensive end, best pass rusher in the country.
Best home field advantage, maybe.
But when it comes down for it, for me, same thing for you. Josh Rosen, just I expect him to take another step next year and be elite. And I'm going with UCLA in a very fun matchup. This is a tough game. This is a hard one to pick, Ryan. But I'm going to go with UCLA and Rosen. It is just kind of funny, you know, with the quarterback situation. I know they have a homeboy, Brandon Knight, starting from Oklahoma, but I'm sorry. He's just a drop off of the talent that they did have. It's a drop off of the talent they had. And, Ryan, you kind of have to think, Kevin, someone, a guy who had a lot of hype a couple of years ago, and a lot of his success is due to the fact, you know, he had Johnny Manziel. But you got to think, you know, they have another bad year this year. They don't live up to expectations. Is his seat going to start to get hot? Is he going to get a
Could
run
be.
Out of town and have
I
to hop in his
I think that's a prime destination for the Houston coach.
For Todd Herman.
Let's put
you
it
know,
that
Ryan,
way.
Something interesting about that, though, and you never know. It could just be him cooling the smoke and bars before the season. He did say that it would have to take something really, really special for him to leave Houston. And part of
him is waiting
for that job in Texas, kind of hoping Charlie Strong gets canned and he can go in there and get that Texas job if Charlie Strong is fired this year. But you have to think, too, if Houston joins the Big 12, there's no Herman getting in the Power 5 conference. They gain notoriety. He starts bringing him up. He could, you know, kind of father and build that program. I know he just signed a big extension last year. Just saying,
maybe.
You know, it wouldn't shock me. But on that,
all right, we got to move on.
Back. I'm
games.
Going UCLA and Josh Rosen.
But Andrew, I will say that most of the time in college football, you know, if there is a pick'em game, usually if you have an elite quarterback versus a new quarterback, that's the team you want to go for. Speaking of elite quarterback, Notre Dame has two of them. Notre Dame versus Texas. To me, Notre Dame has really a schedule that they can run the table. If they had their team last year, they do have some gaps to fill, but a very easy schedule because of the teams they're playing are falling off. I'll get into that a little bit later, hopefully if you have time. But, you know, Stanford, we just saw they struggled. They're a one-man team. But anyway, Texas to me is one of the scariest teams on Notre Dame's schedule. It's a Sunday night game. Texas is going to be pumped. Charlie Strong is coaching for his job. He is an elite coach, in my opinion. I still believe in him. Texas also is filled with talent, and Notre Dame absolutely destroyed them last year. So they're going to be absolutely pumped for this game. We've seen Texas can be special, just like when they beat Oklahoma, if they get rolling. And I think Notre Dame is absolutely going to struggle in this game, especially the fact, just like Ohio State last year, playing two quarterbacks, that just puts a lot of pressure on a coach. That's why I like the fact FSU didn't have to go through that with the McGuire injury. I think the Irish, though, all in all, are going to come out with the victory. I just think Notre Dame is a better program right now. And once again, the elite quarterbacks, two of them, are going to come out with the victory. I just think that right now Notre Dame is a better team than Texas. Texas, to me, I hope Charlie Strong has the time. I don't know if he really does, but they're definitely a year away, maybe even two. But we'll see. They could have a freshman on their hands at quarterback. But the time is ticking, and Charlie Strong could be done. I got Notre Dame in a weaker in a Sunday night classic.
I'm going with Notre Dame big, actually. I see, you know, people are starting to, you know, kind of get that hype about Texas, about being back. I don't know. I just don't see it. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, the talent that team has in its roster, DeShone Kizer, Malik Zaire. I just don't see Texas winning that game. I feel like they haven't even really taken a step forward. I mean, granted, they were able to upset Oklahoma last year, beginning of the season. I feel like Oklahoma was kind of sleeping on them. Texas had some things go their ways. Sam Dillinger starting a quarterback, he could be very good for him, but I just don't see it, not with Brian Kelly. He's an elite coach. He's going to have those boys ready to play. And Ryan, you touched on it, the two quarterbacks, DeShone Kizer, pro style, perfect for Kelly's offense. And then Malik Zaire, you know, one of the most exciting, explosive players in college football, can have the ability to put his team on the back, on his back, and really take over. But Ryan, for the sake of time, I got Notre Dame, and I got him big. I just don't see
it. Andrew, do you think Brian Kelly, I think he's maybe a top three, top four coach in the nation. If he didn't have the strict rules, which he already recruits great, but you have to have a 3.0 to play for Notre Dame. We constantly see the players he's bringing in getting in trouble. Do you think if he was at, like, an SEC powerhouse-type school or a Florida State, he would have a national title right now?
It's always tough to say the way the chips fall, but I'm going to say yes. I mean, granted, he came close twice already. You
like
know,
you
got
to
lost
Alabama. He would have brought a quarterback to LSU by the time, like, if
oh,
he had
God,
been close.
Yeah, and, you know, a good offense. And I could see him doing something similar that Jimbo did. And, you know, Kelly, the thing about Kelly, though, you know, he took his bumps in the beginning, but he's progressed into such a great coach. And even look at the team they had last year. If they didn't have all those injuries, they could have very well, you know, made the college football playoffs. Two-point conversions away from making the college football playoffs.
I think they were the third most
talented
team overall.
Yeah, I mean, that team, you know, definitely, I feel like, could have won it all last year if they got a chance to play, if, you know, some of the things that happened didn't happen as far as the injuries go. But, yeah, Kelly's a great player. And, you know, just saying, two-point conversions. And, Ryan, I didn't want to steal your pick talking about college football playoffs, but I do think you are on to something with Notre Dame. You know, those teams, you know, tough schedule looking on it on paper, but when you start to break down some of their big matchups, like when you look at the Stanford, when you look at the UFCs and whatnot, you got to really like their chances. No Clemson this year. I love it. But, Ryan, you know, we're short on time. We got to keep it rolling. Florida State Ole Miss, Monday night. Classic 11-4 matchup. This is the game of the week. Everyone's talking about it.
If either team loses, they still can make the playoff. The only eliminator this week is Houston if they lose. But, you know, this will seriously hurt either team's chances, especially FSU, because of the hate FSU gets, and I don't understand that, because if they win the rest of their games, they absolutely deserve to make the playoff. But, Andrew, this is definitely – we also missed Wisconsin-LSU. I think we're both taking
LSU. I think we're both going LSU on that one.
Yeah, definitely. Fournette's going to roll. But I don't understand why that's kind of game day either. But, Andrew, Ole Miss, FSU, I'll let you start it off, and let's hit our predictions after that. So, keep it quick.
Yes, Ole Miss, LSU, first of all, or Florida, FSU, Ole Miss, what a game. As a Florida State fan, first of all, you guys already know I'm picking Florida State. Very nervous about this game going in. I mean, Chad Kelly, I've been scouting him, watching some of his highlights. He has a great talent. You know, he's trouble
good.
When he's being pressed. Like, you know, something Florida State has to do, one of the biggest keys of this game is put pressure on him. But Ole Miss lost a ton. They lost Laquon Treadwell. They lost all five of their men, big men from up front, breaking in a brand new offensive line. They returned five starters on defense, three starters on offense. They do bring back a superstar tight end in Ingram, All-American caliber tight end. And Ryan, you know some of the woes in our defense of covering that tight end over the middle.
Tight end.
You know, but Chad Kelly, very elite quarterback. However, I just, the talent Florida State brings back, you know, what scares you, something Ryan was saying, you know, normally you pick the team with proven talented quarterback, but Ole Miss has lost a ton. I think Florida State does a great job getting pressure on Chad Kelly. But one thing, you know, me and Ryan were talking about, we just have too much talent. You know what I mean? You bring back pretty much the entire
elite
offense.
Elite talent at every position.
Every position. But,
and
you
quarterback
know,
could be.
This is a team, you know, this is a game where, you know, if Florida State does get down early, we find ourselves down like 21-3, especially, you know, you have to think we're going to have to rely on Dalvin Cook a lot in this game. We're going to be running the ball a lot. If we get down early, you know, we could potentially be in trouble. Or, you know, God forbid, something happens to DeAndre Francois and we have to put in J.J. Constantino, Ryan. But one thing I will say, I saw the numbers broken down. Under Jimbo in Florida State, quarterbacks to first start a game have done extremely well. The only time one has ever lost was Clint Trickett when he lost to Clemson 35-30 when E.J. Manuel was hurt, and he still passed for 300 yards. Kind of a testament to show what kind of coach Jimbo Fisher is. All of them have had good games. He kind of knows what to expose them to, what plays
yep.
to run. And also, I have to give Florida State the big edge in coaching. But all in all, I got Florida State winning this game. It's going to be a good one. I have Florida State winning 34-17. I feel like we get out, it's going to be close. I don't know. I feel like we get out an early 2-touchdown lead. We kind of hold it the entire game. And yeah, go Noles, got Florida State 34-17.
I think Florida State, this is going to be an absolute coming out party for Francois. First
oh,
up,
I
think
so.
The defense is too elite. I think this is the best defense in the nation. It's young, but it's so talented at every position. I think we're going to get at least 3 to 4 turnovers on an erratic Chad Kelly once he gets pressured, and that right there is going to change the game altogether. Francois, I don't think FSU fans have enough confidence in him. I think he is an elite talent, and it makes it a lot easier when he has Dalvin Cook behind him and the talent at receiver. Travis Rudolph is going to be touching the ball a lot in this game, because I think FSU is going to absolutely rout Ole Miss early and often, 42-21. The 21 is probably going to come late. I think it's going to be the coming out party. We're going to see a lot of dancing by the Noles defense as they're hitting Ole Miss players and knocking them out of the game. Andrew, I'm going to do about 1 or 2 minutes on each conference. I'm going to give you a got to move on after you know, the time period
okay.
as we predict our predictions. And then we're going to do college football playoff. What we just talked about, the ACC. I know you love the Noles, but let's keep it short. We got Florida State, Clemson. I think it's a 2-team league. Louisville, North Carolina absolutely are talented. Miami with Mark Richt. A lot of new great coaches in this league. We could talk about it for days. I think it's going to come down to that Florida State-Clemson game. Obviously, Florida State and Louisville, I think, is going to be a huge game also. But I think the Seminoles are definitely going to win this conference. Like I said, I think we're the most talented team in the nation. I'm not just being a homer. I just love every aspect. And I think Dalvin Cook is one of the most he's one of the best running backs I've ever seen in my life, to be honest. When the guy touches the ball, he's just so dynamic. He equals what Jameis Winston was to us at quarterback. I do think Clemson's going to win out other than FSU. and go 11-1. They are an elite team also, and there's going to be two Heisman finalists out of the ACC in Dalvin Cook and Deshaun Watson. So I think Florida State moves on and North Carolina moves on in the other side of the bracket. Actually, I'm going to change it. Miami makes it in the other side of the bracket.
Uh-huh.
And Florida State beats Miami twice in one season.
Oh, I love
but
it.
Watch out for that Miami game midseason for Florida State. That's a little scary for me because we've beaten them so many times. Florida State wins the conference, but Clemson, I will tell you later, but I think they also are going to go far this year.
Look, I got Florida State winning the conference as well. Biggest factor, Clemson, Florida State, the game that's decided the ACC for the last 5 or 6 years at least. It's leading
it's
play
the biggest game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Game of the year.
It is the new LSU-Bama game, and that was a big game. And this game is in Tallahassee, which I feel gives the Noles the slight edge. I got Florida State winning the ACC.
Yes, sir. And we're going to go ahead and move on to a tough conference pick this year, the SEC. To me, Alabama has a rough schedule in the SEC. They play LSU on the road. They play Arkansas. They play Ole Miss on the road the third week of the season. In the East, I think Tennessee has been hyped, but we all know they never really come through. Florida, I'm a little bit scared how they're not being talked about. They have talent. They have what seems like to be a pretty damn good coach. If they have quarterback play, they are a dangerous team. We talked about Georgia already. And, of course, you know, Ole Miss in the SEC West is, you know, pretty scary with Chad Kelly. I'm going to say Alabama slipped a little bit, has two losses, one to LSU. And I'm going to say the other one is going to be to Tennessee. Yeah, shocking.